The Department of Justice is stepping up its fight against ransomware. How will this impact your managed services practice? Stay tuned for today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Very interesting article in Wall Street Journal. It is a few days old. I actually think it came out last week, so I'm not sure if those of you out there who follow Wall Street Journal may have seen this already, but I thought it was interesting and it caught my attention because it deals with an issue that is what I would say now confidently is a trend. When you see it in one place, it's maybe an anomaly. When you see it in multiple places, you can call it a trend. And this is a trend. And it's a trend at the United States level. I think it's a trend elsewhere. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the podcast. But the article, well, let me step back. The title for today's episode is about the Department of Justice, the DOJ, and its considerable resources fighting or increasing its fight against cyber warfare, cyber terrorism, and in particular, one of the manifestations of cyber terrorism, cyber warfare is ransomware, right? It's one of the many variants that are out there and are employed by the bad actors. But it is now a critical level to the point where the Department of Justice is acting, and it means something. So this article means something that has a bigger picture and a larger, shall we say, import to managed service providers and to your customers, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, there's a link in the podcast notes to the article. I heavily encourage you to check it out. It is who wrote this? Dustin Volz. It was dated April 21st, and the article is titled "Ransomware Targeted by the New Justice Department Task Force," and I'm going to read some sporadic statements here, but one of the quotes is from the acting deputy attorney general, John Carlin, who says in the article, "Ransomware poses not just an economic threat to businesses, but it jeopardizes the safety and health of Americans." It's a fairly vanilla statement. No one's going to argue with that. And it goes on to talk about the considerable increase in 2020, last year during the pandemic, that we saw in ransomware and other types of cyber attacks that just proliferated all around the world, not just in the United States, but everywhere. We saw this. We know this to be true. And certainly if you're an MSP, you know that was true because you were fighting it. You were cleaning up after it. But the purpose of the article, not just to say that, you know, hey, we had a bad year in 2020 with ransomware and cyber attacks. It's not to say that, that was not necessarily news, but it's the creation of a new task force within the Department of Justice that is going to be focused on curtailing, I'm quoting here, curtail the proliferation of ransomware cyber attacks in a bid to make the popular extortion schemes less lucrative by targeting the entire digital ecosystem that supports them. Now, what does that mean for those of you who don't live and breathe in Washington? What that means is that not only is there economic peril, but they're going to be applying political, legal, and probably, wouldn't surprise me, military intelligence resources applied at this. Why do I say intelligence? Because down in the article, they are drawing a direct link, not just between ransomware and cyber criminals, right? Criminal gangs or individuals, but the task force, and this is in the third section, third paragraph of the article, it will seek to improve intelligence sharing across U.S. departments and work to identify, and here's the quote, links between criminal actors and nation states. So that's the tie-in to the intelligence community, maybe the State Department, maybe military. But the point is that for years now, we have been getting little glimpses of policy changes, right? I draw your attention to, I think, one that came out late last year from the Office of Foreign Asset Control, OFAC, which I think is part of the Treasury Department, if I'm not mistaken, clamping down on ransomware payments and saying, look, you better be forewarned if you make a payment to a ransomware actor to get data back, whether it's, you know, for your own purpose or for your customers, you may be violating some law, and you may be subject to sanctions because you may be giving money to a group, an individual, or to a nation that is on our no-no list. All right, so that's a shot across the bow from the Treasury Department of a financial risk of making a ransomware payment, number one. Number two, this article talking about the DOJ and its new task force saying, look, we're amping it up on this side, on the law enforcement side, right? We've got other mechanisms out there. You know, I mentioned one with OFAC and Treasury. Now we're having a law enforcement component to this, which is going to apply equal pressure. What does this all mean? Why should you care as an MSP listening to the MSP Zone? Well, I'll tell you why you should care, and you should care. Because if you read the tea leaves, if you read the writing on the wall, you should be able to quickly determine that it is not very long before paying ransomware is precluded. It is taken off the table of available options to you as an MSP or to your customers in terms of restoring data and restoring network integrity after a ransomware or cyber attack event. And I believe, and the article goes into some of the incredibly large payments that have been made, known to have been made to cyber criminals, ransomware authors. Ransomware actors. And so everybody knows that it's happening. It's a known practice, and the people who know it the most are the people who are spreading the ransomware because they're making the money. They know it works. It works like clockwork. And now we're finally getting to the point where the federal government and the various federal government agencies are starting to say, maybe we should start taking that off the table, right? Let's stop making ransomware payments a option, and maybe that will drive better behavior on the prevention side. And I think that that's really where we're getting at here. And I think that personally, that's a good thing. I never liked the idea of ransomware payments because it excused the behavior. It's like maybe you learn the lesson from paying the bill, maybe not. But I don't necessarily see a lot of MSPs telling stories about ransomware victims who suddenly became very security conscious. Maybe they're out there. If you happen to be one of those and you want to tell your story, send me an email. I'd love to have you on the show. But I just don't see it as a corrective behavior, meaning making that ransomware payment isn't going to necessarily teach you a lesson to become better. You're just going to say, well, maybe I'm not going to get hit again. And if I do, then I just pay a fine, you know, the equivalent of a fine, and I get my stuff back. What's so bad about that? Well, you know, those days may be over. And if you're a practicing MSP, what is your guidance now to your customers who are saying, you know what, that backup as a service quote, a proposal that you keep sending me to back up my data, you know, I just don't think I want to spend that money. Because, you know, so what? I don't really think I'm at risk. If I am at risk, if I actually ever get hit by ransomware, I'll just pay the fine, right? So it's a little bit of money, right? I'll probably save money by spending that money on the ransomware person versus paying you the MSP. Right? I'm talking out loud, right? What a client might be thinking inside their head as they decline that proposal for managed backup services. I don't think that's an option anymore. I just don't. Same with, I don't really like using multi-factor authentication. It slows me down when I want to go log into my, you know, gaming platform or social media or do my online day trading. It's just it's a hassle, and you know, what good does it really do? You know, I'd rather not use it. No, declined. All right, these are all parts of the defensive network that we all know work. MSPs, good MSPs, you know this stuff works. And it's a layered defense. Not one thing is going to stop any one attack, but a layered approach is going to increase your odds of surviving or defending against an attack, which is, let's face it, they're coming from everywhere and they're indiscriminate. They don't care. They're not always targeting you. They're just throwing something against the wall and seeing what sticks. Back to the article. So if you had to take a guess, if I had to take a guess, I would say that we are nearing the end at which ransomware payments will be allowed as accepted practice. We talked about the OFAC, sanctions issue. We're starting to talk about the education and the enforcement issue from this task force mentioned in the article. And we haven't even talked about yet legislative efforts to curb ransomware payments of the type that we are seeing in, first thing that comes to mind is the Louisiana MSP registration law, which does state that the MSPs need to disclose ransomware payments if they've made them, and they have to disclose that to the state. So, you know, you can draw a non-linear line between all of these different things, right? A state law here, a federal Treasury Department action here, a Department of Justice agency task force spun up over here, and they're all in different areas, but they all are connected, and they're all moving in the same direction. So what would I do if I was an MSP or advising an MSP today? I would start to immediately build, first of all, I'd have a conversation with your customers, all of them, all managed services customers, and say, you know, check and do the checklist, multi-factor authentication, password management, you know, some sort of internal backup of data, air gapping those backups so that make sure that if ransomware is hits you, then you have at least one credible, good, non-infected backup image that you can deploy and restore from. And a variety of other layered security, change management, risk management protections that your good MSPs ought to be able to do with no problem. And I would have those conversations with these customers, particularly the ones that are not buying those services from you. And I would say, look, I don't care if you're buying it from me, but you got to be getting it from someplace. You got to be doing it yourself. If you're not doing it yourself, we'd be happy to deliver it to you. If you're not willing to do it yourself or to have us as an MSP do it for you, you should be getting it from someplace else. If you're getting it from nobody, I as an MSP would be building a big wall between myself and that customer, because that customer is going to, like a bomb, they're going to go off and it's going to do some significant damage. And the last thing I would want is my MSP practice being harmed by a careless customer who says, I'm not going to do any of these basic fundamental cybersecurity protection things, but I'm, you know, and this is my editorial comment, you know, if something bad happens, you'll be around to clean it up, won't you? And that's all too often the posture, in my opinion. It doesn't explain every situation, but it happens a lot. And I think it's a very prevailing attitude amongst particularly smaller organizations or less sophisticated, less mature organizations, shall we say. And size is not a an indicator of this at all. You could have very immature big companies. They do exist. But the point is that the MSPs need to really start having these conversations and need to start identifying non-compliant customers who are a risk to themselves and a risk to the MSP, and start to build protections against your MSP practice for those customers who are just unwilling to change behavior and maybe, you know, relying a little bit too much on that ability to just say, you know, I'll just make the payment and get my data back if it ever happens to me. I just think that those days, if they haven't ended, they're coming to an end soon. And better start now in changing attitudes and having, you know, difficult, yes, but necessary conversations with your customers about why these policies are going to change, why your MSP policy is going to change, and what they need to do to protect themselves. And I think that a reasonable customer will respect that immensely. They will appreciate the fact that you're giving them honest advice, that you're giving them, you're not just giving them good advice, you're helping them save them time and aggravation and effort and potentially money by making, you know, foolish decisions that can have other bad consequences down the road as a result of their inaction, shall we say. And that really is the main purpose of this article. It's not the purpose of the article. It's my analysis of this article and why it is important to the MSP profession today. Don't be surprised if we revisit this in the near future and see more action and more action from other agencies and maybe even starting to see things happening elsewhere in the world, outside of the United States, along the similar lines. Because once this gets out, you know, you're going to see larger other countries, you know, more developed countries follow suit and start to say, you know what, this is probably a good policy, and you know, we're going to follow suit. We're going to take the same approach to our businesses and our citizenry in protecting them against ransomware. Mark my words, it's probably going to happen in the near term. Anyway, give the article a read. I'll include the link in the show notes. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you have experience with this, we'd love to have you on. Again, if you want to be anonymous, if you want to, you know, just be very minimal about what you talk about, we're fine with that. We'd love to have your perspectives on here and share them with the audience and the rest of the MSP population. Until next time, be safe. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll see you on the next MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.